Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper, and with us in our virtual studio is my co-host, Kirsten Milliken. Kirsten, how are you? Kirsten, are you out there? Well, maybe it's just me live. Anyway.
I'm here. My God.
I mean, you're sleeping on me or something like that. You know, Kirsten, I got a gut tonight that this is going to be a great show.
Said I was here?
I'm sorry. Well, you know, it's on intuition, which is all about your gut. So there's got to be something good happening tonight. Because our topic tonight is what is intuition and how can it help ADDers? This is Attention Talk Radio. Today is Wednesday, August the 22nd in the year 2012 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And with us in our virtual studio is Dr. Ari Tuckman, who is a frequent flyer on our show. We'll have to start giving him green stamps here pretty soon because he's been on so many times. It's kind of crazy. So, Kirsten, are you ready for a good show?
I am definitely ready for a good show.
I think it's going to be one of our best. For some of you out there, it's going to be a little bit cerebral, but if you'll hang with us a little bit, I think that the outcome will be kind of great. So let's run through our announcements real quick. Again, as a reminder, you can listen to the show live by dialing 646-652-4409 on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. 99% of the time, it's at that time, that place. Every once in a while, we adjust it for a guest earlier or later, but you can usually bank on it. And you can certainly listen to us online by going to attentiontalkradio.com. If you haven't done so already, please sign up for the CHAD conference that's in San Francisco, California, November the 8th to the 10th. For more information on that, go to chadd.org. Kirsten, myself, I know will be there. I believe Dr. Tuckman will be there. And yeah, you will be. That should be good. So we'll talk about that in a second. We're going to do a show on September the 12th. Promoting this conference, this is a big year. CHAD's been around for 25 years, so their theme is 25 years making a difference, and we are in the process of interviewing many of the featured speakers. So during that show, we will be talking to the conference chair about the show, but we're also going to be airing some of these pre-recorded interviews with many of the guests or the featured speakers that are going on. I think you'll be real excited, and by next show, we'll be able to disclose a whole host of those, so that'll be really, really exciting. Reminder to everybody, you can access our archives by going to attentiontalkradio.com, but you also, for more robust experience, go to facebook.com/attentiontalkradio. And for those who don't like to go to the internet to find out what's going on, if you just go to our Facebook page, again, facebook.com/attentiontalkradio, there's a tab, live listens, newsletters. You can sign up for our newsletter, and tomorrow is the unofficial debut of Attention Talk News, which is a new forum that we're going to be using. Our newsletter in the past for Attention Talk Radio has really basically been a really boring cover letter written by me with a bunch of shows, but Kirsten is grabbing the bull by the horns, and you're going to find that the new newsletter is much more robust. Not only does it list shows, I'm not writing it. That's another bonus. Kirsten doing that. We're having guest writers, guest videos, and the content is going to get expanded outside of our sphere. So that's exciting. And tune in, watch for the release pretty soon of Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, which is, yes, we're going to go to a talk show format on YouTube relatively soon. We already have two shows in the books. We're kind of compiling some of that stuff, so be on the lookout for that. We're really, really excited about that. And, Kirsten, am I missing anything? Have we covered it all?
You're missing that we've got Ari Tuckman waiting.
Oh, yeah, that's correct. That's correct. Ari, we're so thrilled you've come to the show. You are our featured guest. Whenever we have something cerebral, like what is attention or the difference between therapy and ADHD coaching, you're the guy we have to go to. It's just you're so thoughtful. You're so intelligent. So you're our man for these special situations. You got to know that. So that's a huge compliment.
Well, I appreciate it. I always enjoy coming out. It's always fun, everything we talk about. I don't know. It's always a better conversation by the end than whatever I might have come up with beforehand.
Well, tonight's going to be kind of fun. And I guess, tell you what, just to get the bio Kirsten, can you give our listeners a little bit of background on, for those who haven't listened to him before, and by the way, if you enjoyed tonight's show, I think we got like 7 episodes in the past. What is attention, the difference between ADHD coaching and therapy, to tell or not to tell, everybody needs a friend, and a host of others. So if you like this, go listen to all the shows. They're wonderful. But in the interim, Kirsten, can you go through the formal bio for our listeners out there?
Absolutely. Dr. Tuckman is a clinical psychologist who specializes in diagnosing and treating children, teens, and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. He has books that include More Attention, Less Deficit, Success Strategies for Adults with ADHD, Integrated Treatment for Adult ADHD, A Practical, Easy-to-Use Guide for Clinicians, and his most recent book is Understand Your Brain, Get More Done, The ADHD Executive Functions Workbook. He's a frequent speaker. He's given more than 200 presentations on ADHD and other topics. And he also has his own podcast, which you can listen to and download, that's called More Attention, Less Deficit, after his book. So welcome back, Dr. Tuckman.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
All right. So everybody tonight, let's frame out the structure tonight. Tonight is an open discussion on what intuition is. And I'm not so sure we're going to be able to define it with specificity, but I got two really intelligent people. That's Dr. Tuckman and Kirsten with me. And then there's me, who's very – I got strong opinions that are usually wrong. But the idea here really is to talk about intuition. And our goal – I'm not so sure that we can nail it all down. However, I'm confident with these two brilliant people. At the end of the show, we're going to make you think, and you're going to see intuition – or think about it, or discover it in a different way that will spur some thought, which is our goal today, is really to get you to kind of think about it. As I've learned in coaching, is sometimes it's not so much seeing the right thing, but helping you think about what's going on and kind of get in touch with what makes a little bit of sense. So, with that, I want to begin things by doing a little bit of round table. And Ari, I'm going to begin with you, and I'm Kirsten, you're next. But Ari, what is intuition?
I think that what intuition is, it's sort of automatic processing. It's an automatic reaction to something. So it's not reflective, it's not thought through, it's not a deep analysis. It's a instant kind of knee-jerk reaction to something, that we pick up on something that maybe we can't specifically identify, and based on that, we have a reaction to whatever the situation might be. That's my sense of it.
That's awesome. I like that. And you pick up on something, you have an automatic reaction. Kirsten, how about you?
Well, can I ask a question, actually? Because he and I may not be far off base. What do you mean by a reaction, Dr. Tuckman?
Well, reaction meaning an idea or a feeling about something. So it's not necessarily that you're reacting in a behavioral, doing something kind of way, but that your intuition kind of tells you something about a situation, about a person, about an event. That's kind of my sense of it.
An automatic reaction or idea or a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Is that
right.
That's what you said, right?
And so I'm glad I asked that question, because my sense of intuition is that, you know, oftentimes, especially as ADDers, we're taking in a lot of peripheral information as well as the stuff that's right in front of us, and sometimes we're cataloging things without even recognizing, you know, that we were paying attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
And when we come on a situation where some of that information is relevant, we get a gut feeling or an emotion about it, and we may not know where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
But the emotion can either drive us towards doing something, or it could suggest to us that we should get away from whatever it is that we're thinking about doing or looking at. And so it's that emotional reaction, whether it's positive or negative, where we don't really know why we're having it, but it's there.
So for you, it's a gut reaction. It's a little bit more emotional, but you don't know where it came from. Is that right?
You don't always know where it came from. It can feel familiar sometimes to you. Like, I just get a sense that this is what I should do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. Maybe later it reveals itself. Maybe it doesn't. But my sense is that it really is based on some experiences that we may not be holding consciously, but that kind of provide the ingredients for whatever feeling we're having.
Well, what I like about this is, Dr. Tuckman, you said you pick up on something, you have an automatic reaction, and Kirsten, I'm hearing you say you don't know where it came from, there's this thing that's out there. And for you, Kirsten, you're using more emotion. Dr. Tuckman said idea and feeling, but it's this thing that kind of came out there that guides your thought, behavior, and or reaction. That's what I hear kind of in common. Does that make sense to you guys?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, our feelings come out of our thoughts, in the sense that how we assess a situation, what we think about it, drives the feelings that we have. And often we're aware of that connection, like we see the steps in that process. But you know what? Sometimes our thoughts whiz by really quick, and we just wind up with a feeling, and we don't see the thoughts that led up to it. So I think that what we're saying very much fits together.
I love what you said. Often we're aware of it, but I'm inferring, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that when it comes to intuition, we're not really aware of where it's coming from. Mm-hmm.
I think actually maybe that's a part, I don't know, maybe we would put that as part of the definition of intuition, is that it's the times when we're not entirely clear on what are the steps that brought me to this end feeling or this end thought. And so obviously there's something going on. I mean, I don't think it's psychic. I don't think it's the universe talking to you or any of that. Like, I don't buy any of that stuff.
Uh-huh.
But I think it's just the processing that goes on. It happens so quick that we don't see it. We just see that end result, which is, ooh, I have a good feeling about this person, or I don't know, something about
that situation
makes me kind of queasy here. So I think that's kind of what it is. And I agree that, you know, perhaps, and I don't know any research on this, but that perhaps folks with ADHD are a little bit more prone to this, because if your attention sort of wanders around a little bit more, you're going to pick up other elements of the situation, but perhaps in a little bit more of a glancing kind of way. So it influences your thinking, but not so much that you're fully aware of, yes, this is what it is, and this is what I'm picking up on.
Is this making sense to you, Kirsten? I mean, do you...
It is, and I just wanted to share a quick example of this. You know that I used to work for the New York Police Department.
Uh-huh.
And I would do evaluations for the cadets.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was like maybe a 20-foot-long hallway between my office and the waiting area, and I went to get one of the cadets one day, and he stood up, and he took maybe 3 or 4 steps towards me, and my belly just got this pang of anxiety, and I didn't know why, but I got him to my office, and I said, excuse me, and I went and got one of the officers who was in another office, and I said, I need you to be outside my door. I'm leaving my door open a little bit. That's all I can say right now. And I went back to my office and I started interviewing this guy, and he was bizarre. He had some pretty serious mental health issues. It ends up a lot of thinking issues, and had a lot of fantasies around being a police officer with a gun, but not necessarily in a helpful Mr. Police Officer way.
Uh-huh.
And had a pretty significant mental health problem, and could have potentially been very dangerous. So, but nobody else had seen that.
Mm-hmm.
And they were questioning what I was seeing and what I was noticing before he even got to my office and I said anything to him. But there was something in my gut that just said, this guy's dangerous and you need somebody to be listening.
Got it. All right, so the smart people have spoken. I'm the knucklehead that over-evaluates anything, and I like to break things down the house. So I'm going to throw my stuff out there, and you guys can comment on it. But to me, and by the way, the greatest education I think I've ever learned or ever gotten, at least related to coaching, has been actually interviewing people like Dr. Tuckman and Kirsten and everybody else who's been on the show. But last September, we had Greg Kurtz on the show, and it was meditation, but the issue really was attention. And we did a little exercise about staring at an object for a period of time and meditating on it. And at the end of it, his notion was, do you notice your thoughts moved away from it? And if you did you pull it back? And that was an attention exercise that if you're paying attention to what you're paying attention to, you can begin to manipulate. And if you brought it back to that stuff and you meditated correctly, which was a new concept for me because I thought meditation was this weird Zen type thing. So I hold that in some space. And then Dr. Tuckman and I did a show on attention, and we talked about it in like, you know, can you not pay attention to anything? And attention is a choice and all that stuff. So all that stuff I've been baking on for a period of time. And to me, I skipped over a part. With Greg Kurtz, he also started talking about the different kinds of attention. They're scanning the attention, like when you're driving down the road and you're kind of scanning the horizon, you're taking all the stuff in. There's the weather and different cars moving and signs and lights, and you're absorbing. Scanning attention is very different than focused attention, like writing a term paper. He also talked about passive attention, where you're dealing with whatever is presented in front of you. Like rubbernecking is a great example of passive attention, but directed attention is where you choose to, like, wait a second, I don't want to pay attention to this, and you go somewhere else. And all that is the lead-in to me to say that, to me, intuition is scanning attention. When we are scanning things, we are picking up so much more than what we're conscious of. Directed attention, we might be focused on one particular thing, but scanning attention is where we're absorbing everything, and we can't necessarily put our finger on what exactly we're noticing because we're taking it all in. It's all in a big global kind of context. And because of that, it's very difficult for us to articulate. But when we see something, this global type thing, we get a feeling and we'll react to it. And if we could articulate it or define it with specificity, would no longer be intuition. We'd actually be able to kind of define it. And to give you some examples of that is imagine that you've seen somebody and you look at them and go, my gut tells me there's something different. That could be they gained weight, they lost weight, they cut their hair, maybe they got an earring pierced or something. It's a very subtle type thing that you're not used to dealing with, it, but your gut is something's different about them, but you can't put your finger on it. You're picking up something here from your scanning attention, but you're not conscious of it, and you can't necessarily point your finger to exactly what it is. Maybe over a period of time, you'll figure that stuff out. Or, as I was 2 years ago, my son and I were training to ride the Keys. It's 110 miles on a bike, and we were up north in Tampa, and I had ridden an area 15 years ago, and we took a turn. I'm like, we're going to go this way, and I could not remember how to get home, but we would come up to an intersection. My gut tells me we should take a right, and that goes back to the skin. I was picking up so much of what was going on that I wasn't kind of conscious of that my attention kind of moved me in that direction, and so I said as my gut is to go this way, which is an emotion, but I think I was reading, comparing the notes from what I was picking up then at a prior point in time, which Dr. Tuckman had said, you're picking up something, and Kirsten had said, you don't know where it kind of came from. So what I learned from Kresh is I'm paying attention to a lot more than what I'm conscious of, even though I can't point my finger to it. And sometimes over a period of time, if I relax, I can, like, break it down and maybe actually define it and kind of get my point to it. But to me, intuition is a non-conscious level thing that we're picking up, and we're paying attention to so much more than what we think we're picking up. That goes back to I learned a lot from our conversation with Dr. Tuckman on what is attention. It's a choice. You're always paying attention to something. And like they say, language, if you're having a conversation, I think the words are only 15 or 20% of what's going on, because there's so much more happening. So much more that's happening, whether it's patterns of human behavior or whatever, just like a hunter might kind of walk around and go, I can stand in these shoes, and if I was shot, I would go here, and you get that intuition. To me, it's the scanning attention that we're not kind of conscious of and or we can't articulate it, and that's what it is to me. And we'll talk about later about why I think it's important for those with ADHD. But for right now, Dr. Tuckman and Kirsten, I'd like your comments on what I said. Dr. Tuckman, why don't you go first?
Yeah, I think that attention is absolutely related to intuition, in that, you know, we pick up a ton of stimuli coming at us at any given moment through our eyes, our ears, through our skin, through, you know, our sense of touch and taste. So through all of our senses, there's stimuli coming in, most of which is not really that important. And what our attention regulating processes do is they sort through all of this raw data at a very sort of primal level, and they decide what is the most important thing to pay attention to. And, you know, we sort of move our attention around the world around us as well as around, you know, within our own selves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that intuition is the fact that we can know something without knowing how we know it. I think it speaks to this idea that there is much more that gets information that comes at us, and it gets filtered through before it ultimately winds up in our attention. So there are more basic levels of attention where we hear something or we see something, but we don't fully know, you know, what we see. And I mean, I remember this was just a couple days ago. I was scanning across a page. I was looking for something, and I knew I saw it. Like, I think I was looking for a name or something, and I know I saw it, but I had no idea where I saw it. So obviously it had flashed through my attention at some basic level, but I couldn't quite grasp it. And maybe that was kind of one step above intuition in the sense that I was aware of something even though I didn't know where I was aware of it, as
mm-hmm.
opposed to intuition is more, we're not aware of what we are aware of, you know? So
mm-hmm.
like Kirsten with this guy walking down the hall, you couldn't put a finger on what it was about him, but definitely some alarm bells went off. You picked up something about him. You just didn't know what exactly it was. And then, of course, it later bore fruit that, indeed, there is something, you know, definitely off about that guy.
That's I love what you said. Knowing something without knowing how you knew it, that's one level. The other one is not aware of what you were aware of.
Mm-hmm.
There's, we got Kirsten, those are great Facebook posts for tomorrow. Just remember that.
So
he said, Kirsten, can you comment on what I said and what he said?
Oh, so you're making this hard for me. This is a lot of working memory.
Go with your gut.
From my gut. I think we're all talking about the same thing. I think, Jeff, that what you were talking about, you were focused more on breaking down the different levels of attention, where the scanning attention is that information that we're taking in that we may not even be aware of,
mm-hmm.
that later kind of feeds into those gut feelings that we're associating with intuition.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I think we're all there. And then Ari was kind of speaking to the same thing where he was saying, you know, there's this level where we're not even aware of what we're aware of. And then there's this level that's maybe a little higher where, you know we saw it, we just can't remember where. So there's some vague level of awareness, which is a little different. So
what I like about this is I think we're all speaking to the same thing, but it's kind of like nailing Jell-O to the wall a little bit here.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the language and how you're doing it, but there's this thing that's out there, and for me the scanning attention is – people say, well, intuition is just my gut. Sometimes I like to define things a little bit more in detail so you understand what we're talking about. And when you said you pick up something, Dr. Tuckman said you're picking something you're not aware of, and you, Kirsten, you said you didn't know where it was kind of coming from. And my description was, that, well, there's the scanning attention that you're not necessarily as conscious of that takes it, to me, it takes it another level. But we're all talking about the same thing. But I think there's something that's real here, and that is, and I think it has to do with attention personally, which, you know, I love attention because it is attention talk radio, paying attention to attention, and which is, this is the perfect show, other than the last one we did, Dr. Tuckman, is that I think attention is there's this thing out there that it's bigger than we think of, and some of it we're conscious of, some of it we're not, but we're picking up things at a certain level in certain ways that are useful information, and later I want to talk about how this relates to those with ADHD, which I think is really kind of a key. So with that being said, we need to go to a break. Before we do, real quick, Dr. Tuckman, those who want to track down your stuff, get an email to you, ask some question, is the best place still adultadhdbook.com, or is there a better place for them to go to?
Well, to get information about the books and the podcasts and all that stuff, adultadhdbook.com is definitely the place. Also for links to past and upcoming presentations. Otherwise, if somebody wants to email me, it's ari@tuckmanpsych.com, and that's psych as in psychology.
Got it. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world. Your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
We are CHAD, the nation's leading nonprofit organization serving individuals with or impacted by ADHD. At CHAD, we provide information and help families and professionals to improve the lives of those with ADHD. On November 8th through 10th, CHAD will have its annual conference in San Francisco, California. If you are impacted by ADHD, this is a must-attend event. For details, go to chad.org. Interested in exhibitor and program opportunities? Call Barbara Rose at 240-487-2314.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
There's a new tool ADHD coaches across the country are recommending to their clients, and it's not a book, a dietary supplement, or a brain scan. It's the ADD Crusher video series, ADD-friendly, highly entertaining tools that are guaranteed to get results. And for a limited time, Attention Talk Radio listeners get 15% off. Go to addcrusher.com and use code ATR15 to start crushing your ADD right now.
ADD Crusher, 5 ways, 5 minutes a day. Crush your ADD.
This is your ADHD information station. Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We're having a great discussion about intuition with Dr. Ari Tuchman. Hear it for Dr. Ari. We got some bright people here. Before the break, we were talking about what Ari thought intuition was, what Kirsten thought it was, and what I was. And it was great because we looked at it different ways, and I think there's a lot of commonalities of what's going on. What I took from it, the first part, and we were kind of talking about at the end, is attention is very much a part of intuition. Dr. Tuchman, can you comment on that?
Sure. You know, I think that definitely, like we were talking about, I think that it shows this sort of funneling process that occurs as lots and lots of information comes through our nervous system, but only a small select amount of it comes into the center of our focused attention. But I think that there's something, I think that there's a distinction worth making here, that intuition, I think, is often based on some sort of knowledge about a situation, or, and ideally even, some sort of expertise, some strong knowledge about it. So, you know, in terms of this, the example, you know, Kirsten, your example, like, you evaluated lots of guys, so you're an expert in that, you could read people quickly based on that information. That, you know, I think intuition inherently involves a certain amount of knowledge that we apply into a situation, but are not fully aware of how we're applying that knowledge or what it is about the situation that's eliciting that knowledge. I think that that's very different than sort of being impulsive about an action or sort of overreading a situation or just shooting from the hip. You know, I think that that's a very different process. I think that the first process based on knowledge or expertise, I think, is obviously much more likely that intuition is more likely to bring us to something good and to be a helpful thing, as opposed to just sort of shooting from the hip and saying, oh, well, I'm just being intuitive. I think is can also be used as a bit of a cop-out to then not have to justify what you believe or what you're saying or doing.
So it comes from knowledge, is what you're saying. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
absolutely.
It's giving you a little bit of background to kind of go from that stuff so that you just can't impulsively say, hey, there's this. There's some background that's leading up to it. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that, you
Dr. Tuchman, would you say, though, that it doesn't always have to be an expertise? It just has to be experience with something.
Yeah, exactly. That there's some sort of expertise. And maybe, you know, Jeff, your example of knowing which way to turn, you know, you weren't an expert in the streets in that particular area of town, obviously, because otherwise you wouldn't have been lost. But you had some sort of general sense of you know, maneuvering around, you had some sense of like what turns you had made or where is the sun or this looks vaguely familiar. I think perhaps I drove through here 3 years ago or something, you know, so definitely not expertise in that case, but there was some knowledge. And I think that, I think it's a matter maybe of that intuition is kind of the cherry on top, but it shouldn't be the sundae in the sense that, you know, ideally you make most of your choices based on some sort of well-reasoned decision-making process, but every now and then, you know, our gut sort of tells us something and it's worth listening to. But that doesn't mean that your gut is worth listening to all the time about everything and every big decision that you make in life. You know, that's being kind of more willy-nilly.
If I may, you said something there that I want to kind of come back to. Your gut tells you something that's different that's worth listening to. I just want to kind of mark that spot because I think we're going to come back to it. So I hope I didn't break your train of thought.
No, not at all. But yeah, absolutely. That's a good, I mean, it's a good thing to pay attention to. You know, what is it that, you know, your gut is telling you something. Perhaps you don't know what, so you're going to take it a little bit on faith. You know, I think my gut's telling me something important. And perhaps afterwards I'll get a better sense of it.
Yep.
You know, like that upon reflection you might realize, oh, yeah, this was the thing that I was picking up on, and that's why I thought or felt that.
Kirsten, your turn. You want to comment on attention as it relates to intuition?
I thought I already did.
Well, I'm just giving you some air time here. Well, if not,
that's nice of you. How about you? I want to hear more about what you think, because it was very funny when we got back on and you said what I got from the first part was that attention is part of intuition.
You thought that was funny?
And what I was getting was that intuition has to do with emotions, and it has to do with prior experience, and it has to do also with the level of attention that maybe you had during a prior experience.
Well, see, for me, is that you had a prior experience that when you can't define it, it manifests itself as an emotion. Since you can't point your finger to it, it's a gut, and that comes up as a feeling.
Rather than a thought.
I think the attention is where it starts.
Uh-huh.
And then the feeling or the thought and or feeling is where it ends.
I like what you just said, Dr. Tuckman, because if I can point my finger to it, there's no emotion to it. I can, like, there it is. It's more objective information. But if I can't put my finger on it, it's more subjective, which becomes more of a feeling for me. So if I can't – if I'm not conscious of it, or if I can't put it into words or I can't articulate it, it becomes a little bit more of a – it manifests as a feeling to me.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and there's definitely
you
momentum.
Can't say how you arrived at – your sense of which direction you should go, right? If you can't say,
in your situation,
well, I know because I went here and then I did this, and last time I was here I went this way, and have more of a conscious thought process about it.
So on your side is when the guy came to you and you said, I'm going to crack the door, I want somebody outside, you couldn't really say why you wanted to do that. You just knew that you needed to do it as a feeling that you had.
Exactly.
Because you were picking up on something from prior experience. So your subconscious attention was telling you something there, but you couldn't tell me specifically why. So you had a feeling that, hey, I need to do this.
Exactly.
So what moving forward, I think attention, I think intuition is all about attention, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to have this in topic. But Dr. Tuckman had said there's a prior knowledge here, and I want to ask you a question, Dr. Tuckman, because I think sometimes we have to be careful because, as you said, your gut tells you that there's something different that you should listen to. So I'm going to ask you this, and hopefully you haven't read any of my newsletters. And, Dr. Tuckman, how many seconds are there in a year?
Oh, man, I have no idea. So 30,000.
30,000. Well, if I'm hearing you, I'm listening to what you're saying, I think you're thinking about a clock.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's 31 million, if you want to do the math. But you're inferring that I'm talking about a clock. Now, I said, how many seconds are there in a year? And that's based off of your experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm talking about time, kind of. But what if we looked at a calendar? Then there's 12. There's January 2nd, February 2nd, March the 2nd.
Right.
And my point really here is, and I'm glad that you said this, is that intuition is not always – there's two points I want to make here. Number one, sometimes those with ADHD have a gut. They see something different, like, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm hearing this, but I need to pay attention to this because my answer of 12 is as valid based off the question as the 31 million.
Mm-hmm.
But the other side is we need to know that we infer things certain times based off of what we're trained to think about. And our intuition is not always right when we're not paying attention to the right thing. And in the illustration that I just did is you were paying attention to a clock, and it was obvious that the answer, if you would have gotten a calculator, was 31 million. But if you were to kind of pause and back up and think about it, there's another answer, and that might be 12 if you paid attention to a calendar. And
right.
Our intuition is not always right because we might jump to a conclusion based off of what we're scanning, based on prior knowledge. Sometimes it's spot on, but sometimes we miss something in that process, and that's why it's not 100%. And that's why it's like putting your finger in the jelly. You don't hit anything sometimes because it's this nebulous thing, because it's everything's a function of what you're paying attention to. And let me back up. With that being said, Doc, would you like to comment on the clock exercise and kind of what I'm talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, I think a lot of what therapists and coaches do is they help people sort of notice some of these automatic processes that, you know, and this example you gave is a great one because there's two 100% valid ways of answering that question. So, but we tend to take something as a given, and that is what it is, and we don't notice it because it's just assumed to be true. It's kind of like when you get out of bed in the morning, you don't wonder, are my feet going to hit the ground or am I going to float up and my feet hit the ceiling? Like, you just take that as a given. So when you take it as a given, it becomes invisible and you don't pay attention to it. And I think that, you know, so there is value as, you know, or reflective species to spend some time reflecting on what our assumptions are. And when a situation comes up, you know, particularly one that's very notable, like some of the examples we gave here, to say, well, why did I come to that conclusion? What does that tell me about some of the assumptions I make? And what does that tell me about my thought process and how I see the world, how I see other people, how I see myself? And to pay some attention to that process.
Yep.
Because, you know, something that happens is that, you know, we approach things with certain assumptions, and that could be in a global sense. You know, it could be things like people tend to treat me well, or people tend to not treat me well, or you got to look out for yourself, or whatever. Simple examples I'm giving. But it could also be situational. You know, if you're happy, you're going to pay attention to certain things, and you're going to not pay attention to other stuff. And if you're mad, you know, like there's a momentum to feelings that it tends to bring on more, like we pay more attention to the things that are in line with that feeling or in line with whatever we're thinking. And, you know, I think that, so there are times when perhaps we can confuse intuition with momentum. And I think it's worth kind of noticing, you know, to take advantage of intuition, but to also notice it and examine it so that we're not confusing jumping to conclusions, which is generally not as helpful, with intuition, which is really spot on.
Yep. So everybody out there, listen, be quiet right now, because Kirsten's going to roll her eyes at me. Right,
oh,
Kirsten?
God,
and
yes,
you want to hear it.
You know it's coming,
say
right?
It. Yeah, I've been waiting for it.
You know it's coming, right?
I had an intuition that at some point...
Jeff was going to bring up what?
We're going to do it.
What am I going to bring up?
Barclay.
Yes. We did a show with Dr. Barclay on March the 21st on his new executive function deficit disorder construct and the level one thinking, talk about the six thinking tools, which to me is metacognition, thinking about what you're thinking about. And Dr. Tuckman was like noticing your thought process here and being able to like pause and notice kind of what's going on. And I'm trying to say, hey, listen, all these great, brilliant people that we're having on the show, it's all connected. This isn't just craziness. Dr. Barclay saying, hey, no, there's this level that you're kind of doing, and we're talking about intuition, and the topic tonight is understanding what intuition, not just your gut and a feeling, and kind of break it down, and notice it. And the clock example was wait a second, what am I paying attention to, and what is my gut, and evaluating that, because we're going to get to this after the next break, of why is this so important with those with ADHD. And as an aside, just a couple other shows, we had Dr. David Now talking about what does dopamine feel like and how exactly did you do that and how you determine what's important. All those exercises are for you to learn how to think about what you're thinking and to kind of like explore those processes. So, Kirsten, I'm done. You good?
I'm so glad you brought that up.
You're so glad that I got it over with. Not that I brought it up. Just come on.
I've just been waiting, holding my breath for it to come up.
And it took me this long to get into it. So I tell you what, I want to run to a commercial break real quick, and we'll come back, and I want to start to turn this into how intuition can really be of use to those with ADHD. But before we do, as a reminder, everybody, for Dr. Tuckman to access his podcast, the books, and all that kind of stuff, it's www.adultadhdbook.com. And if you've got a question for him, you want to email him, it's Ari@Tuckman, T-U-C-K, psycht.com. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
I'm Jeff Copper, host of Attention Talk Radio, here to talk to you about CopyTalk.com, a voice dictation service. This is not just some voice dictation software. It's a real dictation service by people who type whatever you want. When I need to document something, all I do is hit speed dial on my cell or work phone and start speaking. The folks at CopyTalk will type it up and email it back to me that day. The best part is I can dictate as many 4-minute messages as I want, all for one flat monthly fee. Go to copytalk.com/ATR, enter Jeff Copper as the referrer's name, and sign up for the free trial account today. If you tell them I sent you, then you'll get $20 off the monthly subscription for as long as you keep the service.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. Before this last break, Kirsten had the right intuition of what I was going to bring up in terms of past shows. For her, it was completely obvious based off of our experience together, which is a great example of intuition. I want to kind of start to move towards, we've been talking about intuition and intention. Why is this such a big deal, at least in my mind, and hopefully you guys' mind, for those with ADHD? And I've asked you guys to go first, and I'm going to go first this time and ask you guys to kind of comment on it. And to me, the reason this was a great topic to have on the show and the reason I wanted to bring up is many of those with ADHD, I find at a really high level, they see things, and when you ask them a question like, how many seconds are there in a year, they struggle because they don't know which answer to give, 3 million, 31 million, or 12, because they can see both perspectives. Not all ADDers see that, but some do. But the other side of it is many times – there's an intuition, there's a gut that they're different, that they do things differently, but they override their intuition and they listen to other people and they keep trying to do it the way other people tell them as opposed to listen to their intuition and maybe how they might do it differently. And I'll give you a manifestation of my own to put so that everybody knows what this looks like. I've been very clear. I have dyslexia and learning disability, and I don't like to read, and writing's a pain in my butt. And when I was in college, I was to do a term paper. I didn't want to read it, but I would interview subject matter experts. And when I came to coaching, everybody said write a book, do a blog. Dr. Tuckman is very good at all of that stuff. He's proven a gazillion times over. That's not my thing. But my gut was I listened to how I do it, and I started an audio blog, which is now Attention Talk Radio, because I tried to listen to my gut and my intuition. I do it differently. And I think a lot of those with ADHD don't listen to their intuition telling them, I'm not like everybody else. I can do it my way. So with that, I'm going to ask you, Kirsten, to comment on that. And then, Dr. Tuckman, I'm going to ask you to comment on both of those. So, Kirsten, you're up.
Absolutely. I think, first of all, my brain is a little scattered tonight, but so I'm trying to hold on to this. But that with ADHD, I think we've got so many thoughts going all the time. And so first we're always trying to filter our own thoughts. And then we're always challenged to do things as other people do them. So, you know, we've got our own stuff going on. We're trying to pay attention to what's going on outside of us. And it seems like other people look like they do things easily. And so we try and mimic that, even though it doesn't necessarily feel right. So I see my coworkers all using, you know, particular date book calendars to manage their schedules. And I think, well, that looks simple. It, you know, I've got a million ideas about how I can arrange my schedule, but when I see them, it looks effortless. So I'll try that because it works for everybody else. And what I find is that that doesn't work for everybody else it works for them, because it's not what captures my attention. But if I don't stop paying attention to everybody else, and just notice how I organize things, what works best for me, I'm going to keep banging my head against the wall, and I'm going to keep double booking appointments, and I'm going to, you know, forget to put things down in my book. But it's a struggle to do that, to just recognize that it doesn't matter what it works for everybody else. You know, we've talked about the top 10 list. That's great for everybody else. Top 10 lists are great. But we, with ADHD and you know, really everybody, but people with ADHD in particular, really have to start paying attention to what resonates for us, because without that passion, without that interest, without, you know, things working right for us, it's not going to work for very long.
And what the shows that we did with Dr. Nalan, what does dopamine feel like, what's really, truly important to you, and how exactly did you do that, are ways to tap in and listen to your gut, what it's telling you is your way of doing it, not everybody else's way. And he had a great way, and a lot of great examples of it kind of illustrating that. What I'm hearing you say is it's very similar to what I'm talking about is with ADHD, is if we can tap into our intuition about how we work, it can really give us the clues to get us out. Am I putting words in your mouth? Is that accurate?
When I look at those calendars, if I pay attention to my intuition about it,
uh-huh.
They know that they're not going to work for me.
Uh-huh.
So, but I don't. You know, I haven't in the past. Thankfully, I do now. If I pay attention to my intuition, I know that I need something big, I need something colorful, I need something dynamic, I need my clients to go online and schedule their own appointments. I can't do all of that for them.
Yep.
So I had to develop my own system for managing my calendar, different than what all my peers, my typical peers, do. That looks like it works for them, but
excellent, excellent.
I had to pay attention to my intuition about it.
There we go, Dr. Tuchman. You're batting cleanup here. What do you got to say about all this?
You know, I think you're absolutely right. I think that for everybody, you got to figure out what works for you, and that's always what I keep coming back to with each individual client. But I think that, you know, something to keep in mind on this is that people who are convinced tend to be very convincing. You know, so when someone else says, oh, I know, you need to, and then they throw out something that perhaps works very well for them, doesn't mean that it works for you, but because they're very convinced about what they believe, then that sort of being convinced makes them convincing to us. We go, oh, maybe that is true. But there's that kind of voice in the back of your head saying, well, no, not really. But I think that, and this kind of comes back to Barclay's response inhibition theory, I think that in order to not be just taken in by whatever someone is saying or taken in by a particular aspect of this of a situation, we need to be able to pause for a moment and step back from it and think, does this resonate? Does this feel right to me? Does this feel true? And, you know, I think that that's where folks with ADHD tend to have trouble, is kind of creating that tiny fraction of a second little pause to to do that. So they tend to get pulled more by the certain aspects of the situation, as in the distracting parts of it, that kind of pull their attention away, and then their attention focuses on that, and that information is then what gets brought into their thinking process. So, I think that perhaps those more intuitive moments come out when there isn't that humdrum of activity, you know, that it's in those more quiet moments that you can say, you know, I hate those schedule books. They don't work for me. I cannot make it work. They're the wrong tool for the job, at least for my job. They might be a great tool for someone else's job. They are not a good tool for my job. Throw it away. What else do I need?
One of my favorite sayings on the people that I'm working to is hard is overrated. Just because it's supposed to be this way, if it's really, really hard, that's overrated. Let's look for easy and kind of go do some. Let's listen to your intuition on what's easy and let's do that. It's a lot easier than just doing it the hard way. And I just should do this and kind of putting your head to the grindstone. So, go. You had something real quick, Dr.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I would say is that, you know, I'm all in favor of hard work and especially towards relevant, important goals and all that. But I think that, you know, there's a danger in over-applying that philosophy where saying you should work hard is basically a cover-up for, I don't know why this isn't working, so just work harder and maybe then it'll work.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I 100% agree with you. That right there is just by working. Well, I'm not going to – go back and play the tape. He said it better than I can ever imagine. That's awesome. So to reframe this, as I said at the top of the show, my goal tonight or my goal of the show was not necessarily to say, hey, listen, you're gonna look up on Wikipedia and the dictionaries and say this is what attention is. But the idea was to facilitate your thought. And to me, I will say I have a strong opinion that attention and intuition are very much connected. And it's to get in tune with a different kind of attention. And I – in the work that I do, think that a lot of times that people need to listen to sometimes the fact that they're different and kind of tune into that stuff because it's a beacon. It really can kind of help guide them. So in the time that we've got left, which is really not that much, just last comments, summaries. Kirsten, I'd like to begin with you, and Dr. Tuckman, you'd be next. So, Kirsten?
It's nice that we all agree. That's what I like. You know, I always have a sense when we come on here that we're always going to have different opinions, and it's always nice when we all agree. So that, you know, we've got we talked about the fact that there's attention, there's different levels of attention, and Jeff, you brought up the scanning attention, which I think, you know, I don't want to speak for Dr. Tuckman, but it sounded like we were all agreeing that that kind of was the backdrop of what we bring into that gut feeling, that emotion that we have. Is the information that we've kind of scanned, not necessarily paid attention to in our conscious awareness, but that gives us a sense of something, that intuition about where we should go with something. And that people with ADHD are taking in a lot, and we often become so outwardly focused that we fail to even attend to our intuition about a situation and about how we should proceed with something. So it's important to pay attention to because it can give us really good information and it can give us information that's very unique to us that other people may not be taking into account because they don't pay attention to as much as we do.
And I'm hearing it gives you the clues as to what works for you, and if you don't pay attention to it, then you're paying attention to the wrong thing.
That's exactly what I meant to say. Thank you.
Well, my gut was that was what you're saying, so I had to reframe that for you. So, Dr. Tuckman, you're next.
You know, I get people coming to my office to get a diagnosis of ADHD, kind of yay or nay. And, you know, whenever I diagnose someone with ADHD, I say, you know, yeah, yes, indeed, that is what you have. It's not like it just sort of comes out of nowhere. I mean, they've known in their gut for a long time, perhaps as long as they can remember. You know, I always knew there was something a little bit different than, you know, in me compared to, like, my sister or the kid sitting next to me or what my parents expected of me or whatever. Like, you know, so there was that intuitive sense that something isn't quite working the way other people work. And I think, you know, what I would encourage people, whether it's ADHD-related or not, if you're in a situation, an ongoing situation, or a repeating situation that just isn't working, maybe that's a sign to kind of step back and kind of listen to your gut a little bit and say, and not that you necessarily leave it at your gut. Maybe you do a little bit of research or you talk to some people, you try to figure it out. But to listen to your gut of, like, this isn't working. Why is it not working? What do I need to do different? Or what do I need to begin to explore to figure out why it isn't working? But in order to do that, you need to step yourself out of the immediate situation and get a little bit of breathing room, get a little bit of thinking room in order to kind of let that intuition kind of come forward. So I think that, you know, as much as we've talked about these situations where intuition kind of springs, you know, spontaneously to life, and those are great moments, I think that there are times when, you know, perhaps you can kind of nurture your intuition a little bit by creating the right situation for it. And that's one where you sort of step back from a situation and in an intentional way kind of listen to that little voice in the back of your head, or listen to that little flicker of an idea that you keep saying, well, no, I don't think so, or, well, I don't have time to think about that right now. You know, sort of let that little flicker kind of come to life and see what it's telling you.
And that's why they pay Dr. Tuckman the big bucks, and that's why he speaks everywhere. The little tidbits about nurturing your intuition and all the other great insights that he's given us along the way. I'm just thrilled that Kirsten included me on the conversation. Like, I, you know, maybe what I said made a little bit of sense with you brainiacs out there, which is which to me does me a lot of good, because it's in working with everybody out there, I think this is a great topic. I think this is really, really important. And my goal is, I hope we made you think out there. A few things real quick as we start to wrap this up. Next week we're having Terry Maitland on. Terry Maitland has been helping those with ADHD for a long period of time. In the spirit of the show, I encourage you to listen to it, because we're not interviewing her as the professional. We're interviewing her as the mom, and I think you'll find that many of her solutions were very intuitive that will support the show. And then also, Dr. Tuckman, we're having you back on, and bear with me a second, in October the 24th on Remembering to Remember and How to Remember. You just want to touch base real quick on kind of some of the things we'll be talking about there?
Sure, absolutely. So, yeah, what we're talking about is something called perspective memory, and it's one of the executive functions. And if you know anything about the executive functions, what you know is that ADHD is all about executive functions. But this specific executive function of perspective memory is a really important one. It's the ability to remember something at a future point in time. So, for example, when I get home tonight, I have to remember to ask my wife about our schedule for this weekend. Or as soon as I hang up the phone, I need to go and check the facts. Or 3 months from now, I need to remember to whatever. So it's taking an idea from one moment in time and carrying it forward into a future moment in time. And as much as, you know, we have schedules, you know, and calendars and to-do lists and reminders on our smartphones and all of that stuff, which are basically external perspective memory, they're perspective memory devices, reminders, you can't write everything down. Like, I can't write down the 400 things I do over the course of a day. You know, as I'm making breakfast, mm-hmm. I can't write down, check eggs in 30 seconds. You know, I got to keep that in my head while I'm making coffee and answering my son's questions and letting the dog out and everything else. That's perspective memory, and it's incredibly important and hopefully also incredibly interesting.
And for everybody out there, you'd say, why is he bringing this up other than plug the show? Because tonight we're talking about intuition, and towards 2-3 minutes ago, Dr. Tuckman said, step back and listen. Or I'm going to reframe that, step back and pay attention to what you're paying attention to. And the whole notion of remembering to remember and how to remember, my gut is there's going to be a little bit of pausing in that conversation about bringing consciousness of your memory so that you realize how it works, so you can kind of catch yourself and be able to change things moving forward. And I'm taking that out of context, Dr. Tuckman, or is that making some sense? There's a connection between part of what we're talking about tonight, the fundamentals of pausing and noticing this, and the memory conversation we're going to have in a couple months.
Oh, it's absolutely connected. That in order to remember that thought from the past, you need to pause in the moment, create a break in the action, as Barclay would say, so you can bring forth that idea. Because
and
when
so,
we get caught up in what's happening in the moment, we don't. Our perspective memory doesn't have any space to work.
And so, everybody, shut your eyes and imagine Kirsten rolling her eyes, and I won't bring it up. We'll all know what I'm talking about, okay? Right, Kirsten?
Go for it.
All right. So with that, everybody, Dr. Tuchman, it's always a thrill having you on the show. It's very cerebral. Our point tonight was to get people to start thinking. Reminder, if you want to learn more, get his podcast, his book, go to adultadhdbook.com or email him at ari@tuchmanpsyche.com. So with that, Dr. Tuchman, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Kirsten, we'll catch you next week for another edition of Attention Talk Radio.
Lily, have a good night.
Take care.